This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Our program will be called Following Jesus. In God's Word, the Bible, God calls men and women and children to follow Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other book like the Bible because God's Spirit has spoken through it in the past and continues to speak to us today. Men and women may have their theories and their own plans, but God speaks to us through His written word, the Bible, as well as through the living word, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks to us today through the Bible, and this guides us into all truth. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible tells us how Jesus Christ was born. Jesus was born of a virgin called Mary, and it had been prophesied that the baby in Mary's womb was to be the Son of God. And when Jesus, God's Son, was born, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to the shepherds in the fields who were minding their flocks by night. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were told not to be afraid, but that this was good news of great joy. They were told not to be afraid, but that this was good news of great joy. And this it was to be for all people everywhere. This included everyone else who was to live in the coming years. Jesus came into this world to reconcile men and women and children back to Himself. But how was Jesus going to bring men and women back to Himself? Jesus said these words, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I can remember when God called me one night. I had started my first full-time job and had met up with another person of 19 who I could easily identify with. I was invited to go to his church at night during the week because they were having a visiting speaker. I decided to attend the meeting, but I walked out the first night because they didn't do things the way I had experienced at the Presbyterian church that I went to. Three nights later, I came back because I didn't want to go to a bookkeeping class either that I was attending. And it was at this meeting that I realized I had sinned. Yes, I was sitting in the church and I was listening to what the speaker had to say. And a darkness came upon me and I realized for the first time that I had sinned. I remember calling out to the Lord and he showed me that there was a way out and that way was to ask for forgiveness and then to invite him into my life. Jesus Christ came to take control of my life. He showed me that it was Jesus who died for me because he loved me. I knew that I was accepted by God and I was free from any bondage. I also had a peace which I'd never ever had before. When I went home, I told my mother what happened and I told her that I was going to be a missionary. She laughed as she knew what I had been like. And when my father came home, my mother must have mentioned something that had happened to me. And my father came and he asked me what had happened to me. And as I was speaking to him, I fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit. I fell on my face, yet I wasn't hurt. And my father asked me what happened to me. I told him it felt like rivers of water flowing through me. And the church I went to never preached salvation, let alone talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But because my father was a Mason and could not understand what had happened to me, he sent me to the master of the lodge. And the master of the Masonic lodge could not understand what had happened either. However, I was a changed person, and the following day I asked myself, what would Jesus do? I remembered that Jesus healed the sick, and so I decided to go to a friend of our family who had a steel rod in her back. I prayed for her because I believe this is what the Lord would do. I know that the church began to realize that I had changed and that I was different. I had become a follower of Jesus Christ. We'll entitle it today, The Calling of Levi. One day when Jesus was standing on the shores of Lake Gennesaret, he spoke to many people about the kingdom of God. The people crowded around him to see some boats on the shore. He asked the owner if he would row him out so he could speak to the large crowd that was gathering. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets." The nets began to break, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full that the boats began to sink. And when Peter saw all this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the large catch that they had taken, and so were James and John, who were Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you shall catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed Jesus. In chapter 9 of Acts, we find the following story. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. because Saul, if you may remember, was a person who was against the new Christians. He was trying to go around the country and he was trying to put them in prison. And this is a story that really gets people's attention, because here was a man who was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and yet he too finds him. We'll just read it from chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any people who were Christians or who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "And who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul went several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learnt of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers heard of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. And then the church throughout Judah, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Yes, on the first day of the week, and this is found in Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that had been prepared and went to the tomb. You might think, oh, well, we are going back a little bit in the Bible. Well, we are. But the resurrection, I believe, is one of the most important things, because if Jesus hadn't risen again, no men and women could experience a new life in Jesus Christ. If he had died just upon the cross, that would be the end, because he would have been just like any other man. But as we read here in chapter 24 of Luke, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men to be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. For many people today, the God's word appears to be like nonsense, because how can someone rise again? And yet it was proved to be true, because of course Jesus can come to us and he changes men and women's life as we invite him in by the power of the Spirit of God. You see, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending down, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. And now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. You see, today Jesus, although he died, he rose again and he's alive. And each one of us can come and invite him into our hearts and into our lives. And you can do it simply like this, by praying this prayer that I'm about to pray. You too can pray it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive me for the wrong things that I've done. I thank you for dying for me upon the cross so that I could be forgiven. I thank you that you not only died, but that you rose again so that I could be set free, free from my sins. I thank you, Lord, that you and you alone can give me new life. Come into my life now, please, Lord, because I believe that you are living and real. If you prayed this prayer today, you too can know that Jesus Christ has come into your life, and remember, he loves you. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.